Okay, so get this. Every year, we produce enough data to fill 400 billion memory cards. 400 billion. That's like, what, handing everyone on Earth a flash drive every second.
It's absolute mind-boggling, and it really changes how we even think about literacy these days.
Right. Like, it used to be all about reading and writing, which, don't get me wrong, still super important.
Of course, the fundamentals.
But now it's like, on top of that, we have to make sense of this data deluge, this whole other universe of information.
And it's about more than just keeping up with the latest iPhone, right?
Totally.
It's about arming yourself with the tools to actually understand the world around you, to make informed choices, to not get completely swept away by all this data.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to make sense of it all? Well, that's what we're diving into today. Data literacy in the age of AI.
It really is the defining challenge of our time.
Okay, so let's unpack this data explosion a bit. Remember those 400 billion memory cards?
Hard to forget a number like that.
Right. Think of it this way. Every click, every purchase you make online, even just your smart thermostat, like adjusting the temperature, all of that generates data.
It's all being tracked, measured, analyzed, and that raw data, that's just the starting point.
Right, because what good is a giant library full of books if they're all written in languages you don't understand?
Very frustrating library.
Right, it's overwhelming and not very useful in its raw form. So, how do we translate all those metaphorical books? How do we make sense of it all?
Well, that's where this framework called the DIKW model comes in. Data, information, knowledge, wisdom. It's about understanding how we transform raw data into something meaningful, something we can use.
Okay, so the DIKW model is like our Rosetta Stone for the data age. I like it.
Exactly.
So let's break it down. We start with data, the raw material. Then it becomes information when we organize it, like translating those books into a language we can understand.
Precisely. And then once you understand the information, you start to see patterns, you can make connections. That's knowledge.
But it doesn't stop there, right? I mean, we don't just want to be walking, talking dictionaries.
Right, we need to be able to apply that knowledge. And that's where that final level comes in, wisdom.
Okay, I like where this is going. So wisdom, what does that actually look like in, the real world?
It's about using your knowledge to make sound judgments and decisions. It's the ability to not just know a bunch of stuff, but to really understand and act effectively, to navigate the world in a way that makes sense.
Which makes you think about how we're being educated, right? Because so much of traditional education is about memorizing facts and figures.
The classic memorize and regurgitate model.
Right. But are we actually learning how to think critically about information, about data?
That's the question, isn't it? And it's especially relevant now with, the elephant in the room, AI.
Oh, yeah. AI is definitely shaking things up,
Yeah.
especially with things like ChatGPT.
It's completely changed the game.
Right. It's like having a superpowered research assistant.
Whoa.
Want a sonnet written in the style of Shakespeare?
Coming right up.
Need to code a website from scratch.
AI can do it in minutes.
It's kind of wild. And this is still so early.
Oh, absolutely. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We've seen a massive amount of money being poured into generative AI, and its impact is already being felt everywhere, in film, in music, you name it.
So that begs the question, if AI can already write music, write poetry, what does that mean for human creativity? Does it help us unlock new levels of expression, or does it like challenge our whole idea of what it means to be creative in the first place?
It's a question we'll have to grapple with.
Yeah, it's exciting, sure, but also a little, I don't know, unnerving. Like, are we in control here, or is the AI calling the shots?
It's the big question, right? And it's something that people all over the world are wrestling with.
I bet it's a global issue.
Oh, absolutely. And different countries are tackling this whole data and AI literacy thing in their own ways. There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
That's right. I remember reading about some of those initiatives. Like
Right.
the EU has that digital competence framework for citizens,
Yeah, right.
DigComp.
Right. To come.
It's kind of like digital street smarts.
Yeah, exactly. It's about giving people the skills to be savvy online, to be able to spot fake news and all that, to actually evaluate whether a website is legit or not.
Which, let's be real, is a super important skill these days.
It's essential. And then you have UNESCO, they're coming at it from a different angle, really focusing on the ethics of using AI in education.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're all about making sure that we're using these powerful AI tools in a responsible way, that
Yeah.
we're thinking about the implications and pushing for new teaching methods that actually incorporate AI in a meaningful way, not just as a gimmick.
It's like they're trying to write the instruction manual for using AI in the classroom.
Exactly. And then you have China. They're going all in on AI, like integrating it into every facet of their society.
No kidding.
And that includes their education system, of course.
So it's like a whole mix of approaches.
It really is a real mixed bag, each with their own pros and cons, you know? But one thing that all these different approaches seem to agree on is the importance of teacher training.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because we can have all the fancy AI tools and big national plans in the world, but if our teachers don't know how to actually use them.
It's like giving someone a smartphone without telling them what it does.
Exactly. Totally useless. So how do we actually make sure teachers are prepared for this, AI-powered future of education?
Well, that's where things like UNESCO's competency framework for teachers using AI comes in. It's about giving educators the skills and the knowledge to navigate this new landscape, to use these tools effectively and responsibly.
I mean, it's got to be a little overwhelming for teachers right now,
Oh,
right?
for sure. It's a lot to process. And some countries, it seems, are further ahead of the curve than others. Like, I was reading about how Finland, that they have that amazing education system. They've really been focusing on research-based teacher training.
Which actually, when you think about it, makes perfect sense.
It does, because strong research skills, they're really the foundation of data literacy.
Yeah.
Being able to critically evaluate sources, to analyze data, to come to your own conclusions, these are all essential skills in this data-driven world we're living in.
So it's about giving teachers the skills to not just use AI, but to really teach their students how to think critically about AI.
Exactly, to question it, to understand its limitations.
Which is so important. But, and I feel like there's always a but, even with the best plans and, fancy frameworks in place, I have to imagine actually implementing all of this, like on the ground in classrooms all over the world, that's got to be a whole other challenge.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge undertaking. And it raises the question, for those of us who aren't in school right now, what can we do? How can we improve our own data literacy?
It can feel like we're talking about like a seismic shift in education, like a whole new world. But okay, what about those of us who aren't in school anymore? What can we do to, keep up, to make sure our data literacy skills are up to par?
See, that's what I love about this topic. It's for everyone. You don't need to be like coding AI from your basement to navigate this stuff.
Thank goodness.
Right. It's more about a way of thinking, a kind of critical inquiry, being able to look at all this data flying around and ask the right
So
questions.
less about memorizing algorithms and more about being like a data detective.
Now you're getting it. And one of the best ways to hone that detective mindset is through, well, they call it project-based learning.
Okay, I'm listening. Project-based learning.
Exactly. Basically, using real-world data to tackle real-world problems.
Okay, so that makes sense. Like way more engaging than just reading about data in a textbook, right?
Night and day. There's this study, I can't remember all the details, but basically, these students were way more into data analysis when it was connected to their actual lives. Like they use these data journalism skills to tell stories about, I think it was healthcare disparities in their own community.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like suddenly algebra matters when you realize it can help you like figure out a mortgage or something.
Exactly. It's all about relevance.
Totally. But okay, what about AI? Because we've talked a lot about how powerful these AI tools are, but how do we actually like work with them? How do we use them effectively?
That's where this idea of fusion skills comes in. It's about combining your human strengths, your creativity, your judgment, all that with the raw processing power of AI to achieve something, honestly, that neither could do on their own.
Fusion skills. It sounds kind of futuristic. Can you give me a real-world example? Like, how would I use fusion skills?
Sure. Okay, so let's say you're doing research for a new car. Big decision. Tons of data to sift through. Fusion skills help you cut through all that noise. So, intelligent inquiry is the first one. It's about knowing the right questions to ask AI. Instead of just Googling, like, best cars, you could ask AI to compare safety ratings for different models, factor in your budget, your lifestyle, all that.
So being really specific with AI, like treating it less like a magic genie and more like a, I don't know, a really smart personal assistant.
Right, you've got to be strategic. Then there's judgment integration. AI can process tons of data, but it doesn't have human values. It doesn't get ethics. That's where you come in. You use your own judgment to evaluate what the AI is telling you. Maybe the AI suggests a car that's super fuel efficient, but, has a terrible safety rating for families. Your human judgment helps you decide what's actually important.
Right, because a car with great gas mileage isn't so great if it's, not safe for your kids.
Precisely. And then the last piece is mutual learning. This is the really cool part. As you're working with AI, you're giving it feedback, offering insights, and the AI learns from that. It becomes even more tailored to your needs.
So the more we use AI thoughtfully, the more it can actually help us.
That's the idea. It becomes a kind of partnership.
I like that.
And the best part, fusion skills. They're not just for tech people. They're valuable in any field. And in your personal life, too. Making financial decisions, figuring out what to believe online, even understanding those AI-powered health recommendations we're all getting these days, it all boils down to data literacy.
Wow, yeah. This deep dive has really been, like, eye-opening. Mm-hmm. Because it's about so much more than just, you know, numbers on a spreadsheet. It's about understanding the world around us.
Absolutely. And remember, this is a journey. New technologies will pop up. Things will keep changing. But the fundamentals, being able to think critically, to stay curious, to adapt, and keep learning those are timeless.
It's true. So as we move further into this age of data and AI, where information, you know, just keeps coming at us, maybe the biggest question we can ask is, how can we use these tools to build a better future for everyone? Something to think about. It's been great having you for this deep dive, as always. And to everyone listening, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and most importantly, keep learning. We'll catch you next time.